Hello, this is the weekly astrology forecast, and this is Shelley Antine speaking to you about the week beginning Monday, July 26th, and ending on the first day of August, Sunday. And that is also the day that is sometimes called Lammas, sometimes called Lunyasad. And for some, it is the beginning of the fall energy, the old agricultural calendar. We'll talk about that a little bit at the end of the show. Now, however, you're interested in the week ahead. And in this week ahead, we do have a few planetary shifts. We have Mercury entering Leo. We have Jupiter retrograding back into Aquarius, which, by the way, on the YouTube live link that I will have in the blog post, you'll be able to connect to the interview with Jim Case on Adventures in Truth, where I did discuss the Jupiter's retrograde into Aquarius and a lot of other things. So just so you know that, you can find out even more than what I'm going to say when I talk about it here. So we also have Mars entering Virgo. So that's a lot of change because we've got the mind changing, how we expand in consciousness changing, and our passions and drive. Yes, indeed. So here we go. When we wake up on the Eastern time zone, and we are looking at the moon in Pisces going into an opposition to Venus in Virgo, 9:04 a.m. So there's a sleepy head that doesn't want to get out of bed, and there's a very efficient person who wants to get started, that kind of thing. It's very different, and it may be problematic if you are on that polarity with someone else. And you may also have it within the self by instinctively wishing you could dream on, and yet knowing that you want to get some things done and that you are very happy when the house is clean and everything's in order, you know. Good day for laundry. It was always the laundry day Monday when I was a child. Moon in Pisces going to sextile Uranus and Taurus. Uranus is still direct, but that's going to end next month and we'll be in that full outer planet retrograde cycle. But while it's still direct, it is going to be giving us a lot of energy to find new ways, new methods, new ideas, psychic input about how we deal with our mundane existence, home, and money, and possessions, and even how we relate to our body and how to take care of it. All right, that is going to be completing on Tuesday at 1:28 a.m. Eastern. So most of the day is the moon in Pisces going into that sextile. So this is actually a pretty good day to get some things to happen and get things done. But Tuesday's not so easy because the moon in Pisces goes into the conjunction to retrograde Neptune, and that is until 4:47 p.m., so it is a day to drift and dream. It is a day to contact your inner self. It could be creative. It could be spiritual. But it can also be really confusing, and the fog can definitely be rolling in, either metaphorically or literally. So that's happening. Of course, we'll have a correction in the course when Moon in Pisces goes to sextile retrograde Pluto in Capricorn, and that's until 9:13 p.m., so you can start reviewing some of what's gone on and sort of put the Legos together and create something that is meaningful in some way. While that sextile is coming in, Mercury will leave that sensitive, sentimental Cancer energy and go into Leo at 9:12 p.m. on Tuesday. So, you know, this Mercury is movable and flighty and is now in a fixed sign, even though it's fire, which is a helpful element for Mercury that usually rules an air sign. It also rules an earth sign so far, and that's Virgo, but that's a changeable earth sign. So now we're in a fixed fire element with the mind. What we can get is some very stubborn and opinionated and dramatic thoughts and conversations going on. Now, of course, we may have noticed that there has been an uptick in that kind of conversation over the last few years. But this is a cycle where we all may be influenced somewhat. We will also be thinking a lot about the Leo areas, which are, one of them that we enjoy is romance. Entertainment is another. And children, that's another Leo area. And our own ability to express ourselves in a way that is reflecting who we are, that is another one. And also, in Leo, we try to expand our kingdom, and we try to do that by investing wisely. So those are thoughts that are on Mercury in Leo's mind and will be there until Mercury leaves Leo and goes into Virgo, again, one of the signs that it's said to rule, and that will happen late on the 11th of August. So Mercury moves, you know, pretty fast, so his transits are of a far lesser duration than are some of the other planets. So, but you'll see. You'll feel it. You'll know. And that is, again, happening on Tuesday, 9, 12 p.m. After Moon in Pisces sextiles Pluto, it is void of course. And that was 9:13 p.m. on Tuesday. So, again, another drifting time for Pisces Moon. You know, it just loves to get lost. And it may well do that, but a lot of that time we're going to be sleeping, because by 5:58 a.m. on Wednesday morning, the bugle call sounds as Moon enters Aries. Completely different energy. And that Moon in Aries is going to trine Mercury in Leo at 7:42 a.m. So you may be up for making some plans, and plans about the entertainments and things that you want to do coming up over the coming weekend, or you know, maybe you're thinking about the trip you still haven't taken yet. Vacation is an idea that appeals to Mercury and Leo too. But it's a congenial day completely, because the Moon in Aries is going to trine the Sun in Leo until 5:19 p.m., and I always tell you that's called the harmony of the lights, because the two greatest lights for us here on Earth are the Sun and the Moon. And in this fire aspect, we have a Moon in Aries that has the instinct to be first and to lead and to be adventurous, and the Sun in Leo, which is affectionate, and you know, it has a little more self-focus too, but it's going along well with Aries, because it also loves entertainments and those kinds of diversions. And so there is a harmony within the self about the instinctive self and the way of expressing in the world, and there's harmony with people. And so it's a good time to have conversations if you want to put out some new thoughts to somebody who is in a position, an authority position, particularly Sun and Leo. They will be more open to what you have to say. Jupiter's retrograde into Aquarius has already occurred at 8:43 a.m. Eastern on Wednesday. So what does this mean? Okay, we've had Jupiter in Pisces, and one of the things it does is expand the waters. And so we've got some parts of the countries, not just our own, but other countries that have been experiencing the inundation and tremendously difficult in certain places like Germany, Austria, and Switzerland, and other places, the expansion of waters. And it's not the expansion, unfortunately, everywhere, because the polarity for this is the dryness. So Jupiter now goes into a dry sign. It's a dry air sign, is Aquarius. And it is going to shift those weather patterns again a little bit, you see. But here we are with our internalized ability now to review all the ways we have expanded in consciousness since last December, which is already a long time now. That's 8 to 9 months since the Jupiter in Aquarius had the big conjunction with Saturn in Aquarius. And I think one of the things that we are aware of, maybe without realizing it, is that we do need more work on the shift, on the change, not just in the outer world, but in our own mind and consciousness and how we relate to energy. Because one of the things that's becoming apparent is the way forward that is going to lead us into something even better than we could have imagined is going to require a shift of thought and understanding into something better than we currently imagine. You know, it's we were discussing, Jim Case and I were discussing who might have said the famous idea that you can't solve problems with the mindset that created them, or the tools in your head that are the only ones that are there, right? And I said it was Buckminster Fuller, he said it was Einstein, and I said, well, it's a smart guy. Whoever said that was a really smart guy. Because, you know, if you've ever seen those movies where somebody's trapped in a room and there's absolutely no way, you know, they can get out, you can't think of the ways that you would hope to have, like a key to the door or, you know, something to break the window or the door. You have to find some new idea. In some cases, that might be being able to pass through the wall, you know, change your molecules so that you can do that. But that's the kind of shift in consciousness that we may be looking for. So going inside, internal, with the retrograde to examine just how far have you come in your use of energy, and have you been getting clobbered like so many of us have with all the news, all the bad news, all the issues, you know, about now a new Delta strain of COVID and what does that mean, all the division of people, and all the issue of change versus the resistance to change now. If you think you have no resistance to change, you haven't watched yourself go through a day. Because habits can be helpful, you know, doing things in a rote way. But sometimes, you know, a change of a habit would be very helpful. You know, if you needed more exercise, or if you needed to change your diet, or if you needed to get up at a different time or go to bed at a different time. But you'll see how much you will resist that change when you try to make it or try to keep it, right? So the whole idea is we have to look within the self when there's a retrograde. We're reviewing. In the outer world, there are reviews also. And one of the things is freedom, Jupiter in Aquarius. And, you know, people are starting to look at the idea of freedom. Unfortunately, I don't have a position of my own on this. I'm just using this as an example. French president is upset with people who are not vaccinated because they're going to have to put a lockdown again. And he feels that it's the fault of the people who are getting sick and spreading illness. And he thinks those are the people who should be locked down so that they're not getting sick and spreading illness. All right, now that has a lot to do with freedom. Freedoms. And everybody's like all about freedoms. You know, but, you know, there's a lot of nuance. It's not as cut and dried. Freedom is not as cut and dried as we would like to imagine. And so, you know, this is something that we can also be collectively experiencing, you know, what is freedom and when is freedom called for, you know. And, I mean, I happen to be quite Aquarian in having a Uranus Moon conjunction. So I like to be free. But when is freedom, what they call sometimes license, like license to kill, you know, like I'm an FBI agent, I have freedom to use my weapon to kill somebody, you know. So these are things that are actually something we need to look at. And we've had a lot of focus on that example in the past, and we've had a major trial and a guilty verdict for a policeman who was free to apprehend someone and apparently did things that caused the person to die unnecessarily. So we are looking at these things again as a collective consciousness, and how much benefit are we going to give the group as a whole? And that is in Congress now, as we look at where money might be given to help the people as a whole, a large group, an equal group. So Jupiter's retrograde is going to be very important, especially while Saturn is also retrograde, trying to show us where our limitations in understanding the actual rules and regulations of energy are. We're just in the infancy of an Aquarian age. We are nowhere near the pinnacle of understanding. So we need to be willing to look. And another thing that Aquarius is about is authenticity. It is a very, well, it trines Libra, which is justice. So Aquarius is the intuitive knowing of what is authentic and just. And this is because the intuitive level is the connection with the feeling, well, actually, not so much feeling, but the knowing connection with what you're looking at. Intuition is that. You know, you don't know why you know it, but you know it. You know, like you know who's on the phone is an intuitive also sometimes. You know, psychic is different. Psychic is a little different than intuition. Intuition is on the Aquarian energy because it's electrical, zapper, lightning bolt of this. This is what's right. So anyway, we're all in that now. And it will go direct in Aquarius on October 18th. And then we can start to bring everything back out into the world in manifestation. Okay, so this is what's happening, and Jupiter will surrender its Aquarius transit for another 12 years at the end of December. And then it will be in Pisces for real. And one of the things we need to also remember about Pisces is that it is the water sign, but each of the water signs has a different realm of water. And the Piscean is the one that is the oceans and the seas, the great masses of water where Neptune was the king of the ocean, right? So this is where we're going to see the expansion there. And how would we see that, do you think? I think we're seeing how we're going to see that right now with what's happening at the North Pole without us even knowing. So these are places where we're going to be focused in Aquarius until the end of the year. All right, so be aware of it and use it well. After the harmony of the lights, late afternoon on Wednesday, the moon in Aries is going to sextile retrograde Saturn in Aquarius. That was clever of it, right? 1:53 a.m. So now the explorer energy of the moon in Aries is also looking at the future and all those ideas that you had about the future and the timing and how you were going to go about it and if there were any rules or regulations that would impede your goals or your group or your friendships. So the moon in Aries is having a look. And that's okay. It's an okay time to do that with its sextile. It's helpful. But after 1:53 a.m. on Thursday morning, when that sextile is over, we have the monthly moon in Aries square retrograde Pluto in Capricorn. And that is, it's actually from 1:53 a.m. on Thursday to 6:44 a.m. on Friday. We have over 24 hours of Aries moon getting ready for the big no and feeling it coming in and starting to get frustrated the closer it gets. And that's not a day to begin pursuits. Oh, no, don't embark. Don't begin. Don't look for authorities to back you because that's not the day for it. There'll be another day. It'll be a better day. So just Thursday. And also on Thursday, in its last gasp of Leo, Mars is opposing Jupiter that just retrograded back into Aquarius. So that's until 11:50 a.m. on Thursday morning. So that's the morning with some frustration coming. We already have someone who's got a passionate vested interest somewhere dealing with the idea that things may be changing. And it's not an easy idea for Mars and Leo to deal with. So again, your best bet is to sort of steer clear and just do what you do, you know, in your daily life and don't try to impress things upon others on the 29th day of July. Mars changes signs not long after into Virgo at 4:32 p.m. Thursday. Well, a passion for perfection, a passion for order, a passion for logic, a passion for practicalities. This is what we have. Mars will fight for those things. Yes, it will. When it's in Virgo. It's also going to be passionate about pets. I mean, it's funny, a lot of people, and including myself, don't always mention the connection between Virgo and pets. But that's the house of Virgo is what rules your pets. And, you know, you would think the sign of service. These days, we do a lot of service for our pets, don't we? Some of our pets, if we happen to be in, you know, herding sheep and we need a dog to help us, they do service for us. But not as many of pets in the United States are workers. most of them are receiving service, most part. So it's interesting that it's that sign that is there in the sign of pets. And Mars, again, entering, will be proactive for the pets. And, also, Mars going into Virgo is putting heat into the area of the body that Virgo rules, which is your small intestine. midriff area, small intestine, and that is the place that analyzes what we should keep and what we should throw out when we eat. And so assimilation begins to take place in the small intestine. And sometimes when we're very stressed out, and Mars is a kind of an energy that can engage stress, the small intestine, irritated, isn't doing that kind of a job very well. You know, you may be eating quickly. You may be not giving enough time for digestion before you move on. This is important now, you know, while Mars is in Virgo. Okay? So let me tell you how long that is. Because, you know, it's interesting because we're getting back to school stuff is going on. And so we're looking at getting people ready and getting them all their practical needs, you know. And even Virgo, and we'll talk about this more when the solar Virgo energy comes in, is a sign that is about preparations. It is. It is that because we are in a harvest time, and in the days before flying things everywhere, we had to put stuff away. We were, you know, canning things and finding ways to preserve things so that we would have enough food to take us till the next harvest. I mean, imagine that. You know, I'm wondering, which day do I go to Publix this week to get my groceries? we're very disconnected from that, for sure. But that Mars energy in Virgo is still looking at preparations. And it is a time when we're starting to look at the fact that the cooler weather is going to be coming in. There may be things we need to do in gardens, if you're a gardener. And we have that Virgo, passion to do it, that drive to do it, when we are in that sign with Mars, and that will be until the 14th of September. Okay? So, you know, it's nothing is bad or good, but when it's bad, when Mars is in Virgo and anger is there, it's going to be like serious criticism, like nobody's business. Yeah, so just be aware of that. Of course, a lot of the time that Mars is in Virgo, we're going to, you know, it's got Venus in Virgo with it. So the emphasis is already there long before. And, you know, Mercury will shift, as I said, into Virgo. So those personal planets will be giving us the Virgo vibe before the Sun even gets there this year. It's always different. It's not always the same. So, now, if I can just get back to July. I'm looking at books while I'm talking to you, in case you're wondering. We are going to be looking at, since Mars went into Virgo on 29th, Thursday, and we've already gotten us up to 6:44 a.m. on Friday the 30th, with the moon in Aries completing its square to retrograde Pluto in Capricorn real early in the morning. We have Aries moon on Friday going into sextile retrograde Jupiter in Aquarius until 3:38 p.m. This is great energy too. For, again, look at the things you wanted to begin, but don't begin. Take those and start seeing you know, looking at them with greater consciousness, with an expanded viewpoint, and also visualization, which is another aspect of the Aquarian energy. What do you want to see? And then know that it could be even better than you could have imagined. Allow that to expand to be even better. So this is a positive day to be out and about. You know, definitely people are up for adventure and journeys and such. So until 3:38 p.m. when Moon in Aries goes void of course. Very shortly, thereafter at 4:08 p.m. on Friday, the moon enters Taurus, and the first aspect is good. It is the trine to Mars in Virgo until 5:26 p.m. So, did you run out to buy something healthy to have for dinner? You know, if you did it before 4 and 5:26, it was the perfect time to go find something really wonderful and healthy, Virgo, to have for your meal. Or putting something together that you need to put together, you'll be able to do all of that easily during that time frame. But after that, I'm just going to say Moon in Taurus has really tricky energy to deal with these days. And that's going to be true until 12:48 p.m. on Saturday. Because the first aspect is the Moon in Taurus square Mercury in Leo, 6:24 a.m. it comes in on Saturday. So that's the rest of Friday, over the evening, over the night, and 6:24 a.m. on the Eastern time zone. A very different way with finance, a very different idea about what is worthy to spend on and what is not. Very different and very stubbornly held ideas. So not a good time for discussions. Values are not the same. They won't change. So don't bother with that. Don't talk about the kids, because again, there's a very different way of mothering with the Moon in Taurus than what maybe Mercury in Leo has as a thought. So overnight, that has been it coming in, 6:24 a.m. It completes on Saturday, and then the Moon squares the Sun in Leo, 9:16 a.m. So if you wanted to negotiate and bring this to court, and the court being the authority in your own home, no. It's probably more, Moon in Taurus will find there's more of an energy that agrees with Mercury in Leo, because the Sun's in Leo. So, not a great time. And then the Moon goes square, retrograde Saturn in Aquarius. 12:48 p.m. is when that's over. See, so here's Taurus Moon that doesn't like changes. Here's Saturn retrograding in Aquarius that has noticed a need for some kind of change and is reviewing the ideas. And the Moon in Taurus is saying, why are we going over this again? I thought we made up our minds that we were going to this. You know, so this is a problematic moment, frustration also for the Moon in Taurus. Moon in Taurus has a lovely trine after this. So if you want to eat lunch, wait till 1 o'clock because your stomach will feel better than it did at noon with the frustration energy. Moon in Taurus trine Venus in Virgo until 3:41 p.m. Oh, somebody finally gets it. Somebody finally knows how I feel and is really going to help me get this to happen. Yes, that's when, right then. But after this, Moon in Taurus is going to the conjunction to Uranus until 9:34 p.m. And now we have it could be good, or it could be just a very nerve-jangling, unhappy change. You know, but if you're looking for new ways to approach things and you're open, and with Uranus and Taurus, there are some greater potentials, even for Taurus, to be looking for new ways or to have new, you know, something new going on, then you're okay. But if it's just, you know, this is a terrible moment for me because everything I thought it was happening isn't happening, then that's what that looks like too. But after 9:34, we have another shift. We have Moon in Taurus going sextile, retrograde Neptune in Pisces, which is a very gentle, creative, beautiful time for like music and art and you know, visiting nature, especially nature with water element in it, the mountains with Taurus in it, flowers with Taurus in it, green with Taurus in it. Yes, and that's until 2:13 p.m. on Sunday, so you've got a nice long stretch to feel laid back, and it's going to just be very welcome at this point in time. However, in the early morning hour, we just have to be aware of one thing. It's a big thing. The Sun in Leo's conjunction to Mercury in Leo. 10:08 a.m. is when that's over. And remember I told you there were going to be some fixed opinions, stubborn ideas and opinions with Mercury in Leo? Well, when the Sun, which is ruler of Leo, is in Leo, joining Mercury of the mind in Leo, there is this tendency to believe that your thoughts are who you are. And that makes it even harder to change. Okay, so it can be very dramatic with the Leo energy. And so you want to just, you know, if you're engaged in conversations with people in the morning or in the late night hours or overnight between the 31st of July and the beginning of August, just be aware that you or they or both will be in that I am this thought, I cannot change it mode. All right, so just keep that in mind. But after that's over, 10:08 a.m., that is when, unfortunately, little Mercury has to oppose Saturn in Aquarius. And, you know, he's really no match for Saturn. So things can feel very frustrating and depressing. And, you know, there's something doesn't happen that you wished happened. You know, your team loses or whatever. That kind of energy, 5:50 p.m. is when the Mercury opposition Saturn is exact. But the lunar aspect is coming into Moon in Taurus, sextile Pluto in Capricorn until 7:01 p.m., so all's well. That ends well until 7:01 p.m. because we feel we can ground and we can take something and change it and it'll be okay. But meanwhile, the Sun in Leo is going opposition Saturn. So there are some things that are weighing on your, you know, perfect life kind of ideals. And they're not really, it's like things could take longer. Things may not be exactly the way you want them to be kind of energy. And then the Moon in Taurus finishes the transit with a square to retrograde Jupiter in Aquarius, 3:41 a.m. And again, Taurus is not a sign that likes change. And it's not a sign that likes expansion. You know, you've got a mountain. You know, you don't see them expanding too much. You know, that's a good thing. So that is, you know, a time of difference, very, very much so. And particularly while the Sun is opposing Saturn coming in. So that comes in, the Sun opposition Saturn, 2:14 a.m. on Monday. The Moon squares Jupiter, 3:41 a.m. So we may have a whole new future coming in. But I'll tell you, if we had to have one coming in, we're going to have some real assist on that as next week begins. So we'll be having better times to communicate and get things to happen. And what we are looking at for next week is the new moon in Leo, which isn't until Sunday the 8th. Okay? So speaking just a tiny bit about the Lammas. A lot of you have heard this over and over again because the cycles are the same every year, every solar cycle. One of the interesting things is when did they celebrate this anyway? And how did they know? You know, we're aware of only the solstice points and maybe an equinox point because they usually came through the big standing stones. they made a major appearance. And why? Because those are the major markers of the shift of light that were going to tell you you were losing light, you were going to start gaining light, you were in the middle, everything is equal. But those other ones, which Lammas is what we call the cross-quarter holiday, they were always looking at the sky. They were always noting when a certain constellation was in a certain location, you know, and when a constellation was on, you know, the sunset position or on the horizon before the sun came up. You know, that would be something that would tell them that they would be able to mark time with. And I have my own idea, because of what happened in other countries where there were no standing stones, they would track shadows. Because the sun is moving on the horizon, you can see this in your own home, that the shadow of a wall or a post or a plant even will change during the year. It's not a sudden change. It's usually a gradual change, right? Some plants are getting more light at a certain time of the year than they are at another because of the angle of the sun, right? So they used to do that. They used to look for the shadows. You know, it would be on a certain place on a mountain or whatever. But, you know, there were stone circles all over the place. They weren't all megalithic like Stonehenge or Avebury even. I visited one in Wales where the stones were quite small. They had not that presence that you would think of. So it occurred to me that even in the megalithic structures, it may be possible to look at a shadow coming from a stone going in a certain direction and know that this was that time now. So one of the things about making it always the first of a month, which is what the Gregorian calendar likes, is that it wasn't necessarily always the first of a month. And we can know that, right? Because we know that in a given year, the sun doesn't change from, you know, Leo to Virgo always on the same day. And that's one of the reasons that people who are born near the 20th, 21st, 22nd, and even 23rd of August sometimes have to get a chart done to find out whether they are, in fact, a Leo or a Virgo. So this sky does not follow, and vice versa, the Gregorian calendar. Okay. Now, some people say that the holiday is celebrated actually at the full moon that is closest to the date. Well, if you were doing that, you'd either have to go to last week's full moon in Aquarius on Friday, or you'd have to wait for another full moon. You're waiting till the 22nd of August. And I think, in a way, they had very strong designations about what the moons were, because it was about an animal that was proliferating, or even a strawberry, or, you know, whatever was their environment was showing was the name of the moon. An animal, you know, whatever. The long snows moon, you know, this and that. So they understood that. Definitely, they were so in touch and so connected with their environment. But when we look at a cross quarter, if we have a cross, a perfect equal-armed cross, we're going to be making another perfect equal-armed cross between the positions on the first cross, aren't we? Like cutting your pie into quarters, or cutting the pie into eight pieces. How would you do that? Same thing. So really, essentially, if you were following the sky, you would have been looking for the time when a certain constellation or a certain band was in the midst of itself. It would have been the middle, exactly middle of the time of Leo, 15 degrees. That would be the exact midpoint between the zero point of, well, for this Leo, it would be the zero point of the entry into Aries and the zero point of the entry, no, I'm sorry, the zero point of entry into Cancer and the zero point of entry into Libra. You're halfway between the solstice and the equinox at 15 degrees of Leo. So when is that? This year? This year, it's on the 7th of August. So if you're a celebrant, you have three choices, basically, of when you want to celebrate these. And if you want to be with the agricultural calendar, you're probably looking for the 15th degree of Leo. So this was the time of the first harvest. The harvest is some of these things have already come in. They have been the things that you eat up quickly, like a cucumber or a peach or the berries. You know, these aren't things that were being put away. But when we get to the harvest point of August, now you have your grains coming in. So now you're going to be harvesting grains. You're going to be turning it into flour, the wheat and other are going to be made into flours so that you can put them in the oak barrels that are easily sealed so nobody else gets in. And so this is the most important, and this is why bread and butter is the big deal of the Lammas festival. You know, you have a few other things. It's not just that. You know, for us, we're going to have corn coming in, which is also can be made into a flour, corn flour. So, you know, different types of things, different times of year. First harvest is considered the harvest of the grains. We have two more after this. We have three harvests after the solstice, and this is the first one. So we have one at the equinox and one at the 15th degree of Scorpio, which is sometimes called Samhain, and it's the beginning of winter. The whole agricultural season is over, and life goes back into the ground. This is what's really taking place. It's still taking place. If you have a garden, you know it's taking place. If you have a vegetable garden, you know it's taking place. If you're growing corn, you know this is taking place. And we can pray that it continues as the climates are changing. We'll see what happens. But this was the old agricultural way. So it's a joyous holiday. It's a time of celebration, of the gifts of the sun. And the gifts of strength, so they actually had their own kinds of Olympics at this time of the year also. You know, at the Harvest Festival, the men would come, men and women would come out and show their feats of strength. You know, they'd have the games, you know, the, you know, pulling on either side of the rope, you know, and all of that stuff. So there you have it, but it is a celebration. And on the day that many will celebrate, you have a little bit of a mixed bag with the Leo planets going opposition Saturn, but you do have lovely aspects to celebration on the first day of August and less lovely on the 7th. but it is going into a new moon then, which isn't always the case also. It could be a little bit of a lowered energy. So if you want to pick one this year, I'd pick the first and have a little bit of a lighter time. So anyway, that's what I've got to tell you today, and wishing you the best with the aspects as always. I'll say goodbye for now.